Cool. So we got a quick sponsorship announcement. If you are looking to have more customers pay you more often, more money, then you definitely want to go to www.employeeescapeplan.com and talk to Joe Nicasio, the guy who's coming on today at 3 p.m. has an amazing program. Highly recommend you check him out. Check out his free resources. Take the step. Joe Nicasio, www.employeeescapeplan.com. Now, for the man and woman of the hour. The definition of a power couple. Entrepreneurs Devana and Kevin Stimson are the founders of Strive and Grind, an international branding and creative company that specializes in creating premium brands for entrepreneurs, influencers, and service-based business owners. You can find them speaking at exclusive masterminds or big stages around the world amongst today's thought leaders, hosting exclusive branding workshops, and being featured in the press such as the Huffington Post. Devon and Kevin, are you ready to rock this? They is. Awesome. You are now live on the show, and thank you so much, both of you, for taking time out of your schedule to make this happen and for all that you're up to in the world. Thank you.
Chris, thanks for having us, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, really, I love that your guys' message is strive and grind, right? That's amazing. It's like big dreams and aspirations and being willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And the theme of today, before we get into your story and your journey, is this hustle and flow mentality, right? With the hustle is like the grind, being willing to put in the work, the burn it up, as well as the flow, which is like the creation, the manifestation, the kind of divine timing, like letting go of control. So I'm curious, how did you guys come up with the name and how do you relate to those two things of hustle and flow?
Yeah, for sure. Steve, you want to take it?
Yeah, so coming up with Strive and Grind, it was actually originally Kevin's idea, mm-hmm. and we wanted to create like a blog that influenced millennials at the time, like to strive to achieve greatness. So he had some ideas, mainly like strive for greatness, and I was like, that's kind of long for a name.
This was back in 2013.
Yes, yeah. 2013. I was like, that's kind of long for a name, and I'm like, what about like striving or like grinding, like what are some other words that we can put together? And then strive and grind just kind of happened. We
just
were
stuck.
Like, strive and grind. That's it. Yeah. That's it. And it's just stuck it. Ever since.
Yeah. And so essentially, man, at the end of the day, it's our philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. And so, talk about hustle and flow and all that good stuff. Hustle and flow for everyone else is our strive and grind. So mm-hmm. for us, it's like, high power, dream it, believe it. Dream big, like the whole nine, right? And constantly just thinking inside and out, like, you got this, you got this, you got this. And it's like, all right, cool, you have this big vision and you painted this picture for yourself. Now, how are you going to make that thing come true? Well, now you got to hustle, you got to put in the work, make the right connections and personal development and all that good stuff. So we don't believe that you can successfully grind without striving or successfully grind without being in your flow. And you can't successfully flow without grinding. So it's like a two-way street.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, awesome. I love it. And thanks for the breakdown and how it got started. And, really, I see you living this message, right? Like a lot of people create brands and stuff. And it's not really, you don't see it coming off in how they show up, how they act, how they behave. And I just really want to shout you two out for standing out amongst everyone. You're getting noticed. You're playing at such a high level. You're speaking at these high level masterminds. You've joined and worked with even Jay Abraham, like all kinds of amazing people. You guys are doing amazing things. So how did you get to this position where you are today? What did it take? What challenges did you have to overcome?
Ooh, that's a big loaded question, Chris.
I know.
First, I think to get to anywhere you want to be, and this was like a conversation we had recently, and I was like, how are we connected with all these awesome people? How are we where we are in such a like short amount of time? And I'm like, I really think it comes down to intentional observation, kind of like the reverse engineering theory. Like we knew like any event we went to, any move that we made, there was always a specific intention. If we were to go to like a conference, it's like, are we going to get stuff out of this conference? Is there somebody there that's going to help us get further? And not like in a using people mentality, but it's like you have to have intention. You have to do stuff that's going to take you to where you want to go, that's going to serve you. And so it's like being intentional and observing intentionally on like how other people are getting to that place of where you want to be and reverse engineering that and taking those same steps to get to where you want to be or connect with that person or speak on that stage or get that sale. It's just kind of like you got to look at the people that's done it before you and just break that down and see how you can do the same thing, if not, you know, throw in a few curveballs to get there if the same way, if not faster.
And piggybacking off of that, I think it really also comes down to just being around where your peeps are. So yeah. For us, like, you know, before March 1st of 2015, we were living on the East Coast, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were watching from afar all these entrepreneurs doing cool stuff. We were watching online. It was like, man, if this person can do it, so can we. Like, mm-hmm. who are we not to be able to do this type of thing? So from there, we're like, all right, cool. If we were to go somewhere, where would we go? We always want to come to California, but not just anywhere in California, mainly even specifically San Diego, California, because a lot of the people that we looked up to at the time, they lived in Southern California, in San Diego. So it was like, all right, cool. We need to get there. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, we were very intentional about coming out here. At the time, I'm working at my day job as an IT project manager, and I leveraged my day job to move me out here. They paid for everything, which was really cool.
That's epic.
And then, that's epic. Yeah, it was perfect. And then from there, I was like, hey, Kev, Devonna, we got 1 year to quit our day jobs and go full time with this business that we're going to end up creating since we're out here. Mm-hmm. And then we did that because, again, like Devonna said, it's just like it's all about intention. So from there, you know, we hired a business coach and all that kind of stuff.
Joined a mastermind.
Joined a mastermind, which was super helpful. Being around those people who are crazy, crazy, crazy. We're crazy. We can all be crazy together and just have a good time and do some wild stuff. And then, boom, that's where the magic was happening at.
Dang. That's awesome. So where, like, it sounds like it was pretty smooth and easy on the surface, but, like, where were there some sticking points? Or, you know, like, did you guys always see things the same way? Or how did that kind of come to be to where you are today?
Yeah. You want to get it?
Yeah.
Cool. So, look, man, I promise, like, every 2 months, we get a challenge, like, crazy hard challenge.
If not more.
Even
frequently.
More. Yeah, and it's funny, like, I've been telling people now for, like, the last 2 or 3 months now, it's like, God, he looks out. He's like, yo, Kev, like, blessings on blessings. Here you go. And then it's like, as soon as I'm feeling on top, mm-hmm. I get hit right back down. And then I'm like, dude, just let me be on top of the mountain for a good 3 months straight, and I promise I'm good, you know? But it's cool because it keeps you on your toes. So, for instance, like in 2015, when we first started creating the branding company, you know, we went in a lot of credit card debt to hire a coach and mentor and, like, get things to start working out for ourselves. And then for us, you know, being a young married couple, having 2 dogs, having an apartment, we had 2 cars at the time, we're just like – wanting to quit the day job. So we have all of this stuff going on and we're like super passionate and we really want to get this thing off the ground. But there came a part in time where it was like, you know, we were getting overdraft fees literally back to back to back every single week, which sucked big time. We'll never forget the point in time in November 2015. We had mistakenly $3,000 come right out of our checking account. And this was right before Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh.
And we had rent coming up the next month. And we're like, yo, babe, I don't think we're gonna be able to pay rent next month. Right?
Not with negative $300 and whatever dollars was there.
Right. And it's crazy because I believe that people need to hit rock bottom. I have people hit me up often like, hey, like, can I borrow $100 or can I borrow X amount of dollars? Like, you know, I'm having hard times. In my mind, I'm like, yo, forget that. Like, you need to go through this. And because it was that point in time where it's like, I will never, ever, like, talk about suffering pain. I will never, ever go through this experience again. And so it was that experience that kind of, like, molded, like, us and even me to, like, do whatever it takes. Like, if someone's like, no, like, I'm not interested at all. Nah, maybe they are interested. Maybe you just communicated it wrong, Kevin. Like, there's other ways, right? Like, not to give up and all that kind of stuff. Losing team members when, you know, we're thinking that everything is good and having our team members, like, chuck the deuces and like, you know, I found another opportunity. This isn't working out and da da da. And then now we have clients already. And then now we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to, like, put certain projects to the side. So there's always certain things to keep it interesting, if you will. But we're always, like, learning from it, too, at the same time. Yeah. We document everything as, like, a lesson learned, not to do this again. And what can we do to capture this moment and be like, all right, cool, for the future, how will we end up doing things differently?
Wow. That's beautiful, man. Thank you for sharing that. And I really, what stuck out was the documenting it, right? Like really taking the lesson, knowing that you'll never end up back in that position again where you didn't have enough money, you know, knowing that you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that that doesn't happen, because like you were there, you suffered through that and you're like, God, I learned the lesson. And a lot of people don't learn the lesson even after getting hit multiple times, you know? So I think that's awesome that you learned the lesson. And I'm curious, is there anything, you know, that you guys focus on as strengths as a pair? You know, like one thing that Kevin does better, one thing that Devonna does better. Like, how do you work as a pair, as a team?
Yeah, so before when we first were building, it was like we were kind of just doing everything. Because we can kind of each do everything that one another does. The only thing that he can't do is like technically like design stuff. And that's like the one thing that I can do that he can't. But it was just like, what are our strengths? So like for Kevin, we made it so that he like does all like the sales, like more of the business side. And then for me, it's more of the creative side, creative directing and like managing the team.
Yeah. And I would say for Devonna, like, so for me, I'm just a big vision person, big thinker. Like, this is my idea. Now I need to have the people put it together. Like for me to be able to just sit there as a contributor and like write copy or like do the little stuff, not to say little, like it's not valuable, but just paying attention to the small detail, that's not my specialty, because my mind is just like all the way up here. I can't get down there. Whereas for Devonna, her expertise is like focusing on down here and just making sure that we're not really skipping a beat. She is, she's really, really good at like systems and processes. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have our dream process and like signature product or offering that we have now. But it was because she was able to pay attention to those small pieces and be able to communicate that to the team. Like, hey, this is our flow. This is the way we're doing it. And we kind of balanced each other off in that respect.
Yeah.
So I know you guys are focusing on branding and creating epic brands, you know, memorable brands, badass brands. So you guys, it sounds like you both have the artistic kind of the vision capabilities, right? You both have that within you. So I'm curious, how do you think that that has affected that you both have the artist, the you know, creative side within you? How has that affected your brand through its evolution?
I think that's something that we've actually been really fortunate with, because I mean, the reason why we created the branding company is because we saw a gap in the marketplace where that's where a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses were failing. Like, they don't have the creative eye. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to outsource to the right talent. And for us, it was like, I knew how to do everything. And I've been doing graphic design since I was like in middle school. I created my first website when I was in the fourth grade. So like, I've been like doing this, and like, because we've been together for 11 years now, like it rubs off on him, and I've helped train his creative eye. And so it's just like that's been like what's been helping us create everything that we've been creating.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then you also focus on premium brands and helping build premium brands. How has that played into, you know, your mindset around your work? And do you think everyone should have a target market of premium brands? Like, why did you choose that? And should other people be doing it too?
Yeah, good question. So the premium brand perspective was our way to stand out, right? So not only do we have a unique process and offering where we do a lot of stuff in a short period of time and the quality is through the roof, like that's one cool thing about us. But even more specifically, when we're thinking about the type of people that we work with, whether it's personal brands or service-based business owners, a lot of them, it was hard for them to be able to understand or see the value of what branding can really do for you. Because at the end of the day, it is kind of like an intangible thing, right? When we talk about colors and how you make people feel and what people are thinking about you and all of that, it's like, well, how does that translate into dollars? And we can go into that like later down the road. But more specifically, by us saying like, hey, we're going to go the premium route, because at the end of the day, we're going to want you to be able to charge 2, 3, 4 times than what your competitors are charging.
Yeah.
We're going to want you to be able to position your company as the number one, best, or only in the minds of your prospects and customers. So obviously, you're going to be the one winning the business. And then 3, you're going to be able to attract high-paying clients who would be able, they'd be happy to pay for your products or services. So it's easier for us to be able to communicate that from just like a storytelling perspective or even just a sales conversation, the value of branding from that sense. And do we believe that most entrepreneurs should go to the premium route? I would say yes, because talk about how to stand out. Like, if you're constantly the one who's like, hey, we have the best price, we have the best price, no one's going to see value whatsoever. Right? Why not have, like, there's a reason why a lot of people, when they get their big job or whatever, or, you know, they've made it, if you will, financially, they're like, yo, I'm going to get a Mercedes or a BMW. Yes, it has a price tag, but they feel a certain type of way when they're riding in those vehicles and, like, what people are thinking and saying about them. So perceptionally, what could that end up doing for your business? And if you are having a premium brand and you're charging premium prices, that means you're actually going out there and you're really caring about the product or service that you're actually providing. See, a lot of people, they look at what other people are doing in their space and they're like, cool, like this person did this, I could do the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And now there's nothing that's different about them. Wow. Whereas if you go to a premium route, you genuinely care and you're putting your all into it and it actually shows from the inside out.
Yeah. It also sounds like it gives you the space to innovate because you're not so like concerned about, hey, how do we take stuff out to just give them the bare minimum? But hey, now that we have this excess, now that our mindset is abundance, we're living in an abundant mindset, what can we do that's differently, that sets us apart? What can we invest our time, our thoughts, our manpower, whatever, to make this something that stands out?
Agreed. Yeah. 100%.
Awesome. So what does it take to be a memorable brand, to be a badass brand that stands out?
Cool.
Yeah. And so every memorable, disruptive, and badass brand, which is what we like to say, mm-hmm. starts with vision. And so this is like the number one mistake that we see in our clients or people that consult with us, is that nobody really has a vision. Entrepreneurs just have ideas and they're like, I just want to implement, I'm going to create it and just see where it takes us. Yeah. But you have to look at it like building a business, kind of like building a house. If you build a house without the foundation, long, like a few years from now, it could crash. And, you know, if there's like a hurricane or earthquake or whatever. So if you think about that, like in business, if you don't have the foundation, which is your brand, ultimately, then down the road, your business is going to fail because you don't have that strategy in place. Mm-hmm. And so when people think of branding, a lot of people think it's all the pretty stuff like my logo or my website, or they'll think it's marketing, but it's none of that stuff. So branding is actually all about how people are feeling about you, what they're saying about you, and what they're thinking about you. It's really all about emotion. And so when you have the strategy, you have to come up with, like, what is your vision? Where do you see yourself 2 to 5 years from now? Because it's the brand that's really going to set you up for long-term success versus, like, the short-term ROI of just making money tomorrow. Like, everybody just wants everything to happen right now, where you have strategy and you create the brand. It's all about long-term. What's the future? Where am I going to be 2 to 5 years from now? How many people do I want to impact? How much money do I want to make?
What's the mission? What's the purpose? Yeah. What are your core values? What's your brand promise? Who is it that you're actually trying to attract? How do you want to be perceived? And it's like, cool. Once you get that brand strategy side of things, it's like, now you got to get super clear on your unique process, product, or service, right? Yep. Start looking at what everybody else is doing and start seeing, like, hey, I'm going to be competent enough to start looking at other industries and see, like, oh, I like what this person's doing in this industry. I like what this company's doing in this industry, and kind of marrying things together to come up with something unique to you. And it's like, all right, cool. Once you have that, what's your identity look like? Who is it that you actually want to attract, and how are you going to attract that? So making sure that, like, all your visuals are on point and it gives off that vibe and feel and aesthetic that's going to attract that ideal person that you're going after.
And it's not necessarily doing it yourself. It's like, we always want entrepreneurs to be the entrepreneur, and we want you to train your eye to know what good design looks like, because it's your job as an entrepreneur to know if your stuff looks like shit or not.
Yeah.
So for people to be like, I don't care about the graphic design, I don't care about hiring the right talent, or I'm just going to learn how to do Photoshop on my own, it's like, no, leave that to the experts and do what you're good at, which is running your business. Train your eye as the entrepreneur to know what good design is so that you can hire the right talent.
And if you're not doing that stuff, you're pretty much saying, like, you don't care about your business for the most part. Mm.
Is there a right time or a wrong time to focus on branding and taking those steps?
The the right time is before you invest in your business. Like, that should be the first investment you make in your business. Because think about it. If you're not clear on the foundation, if you're not clear on where you're going and what you are set out to accomplish and achieve and all that kind of stuff, you're just floating along, how much money are you really just throwing out of the window? And because if all these people are like, hey, like, you should do this, it's like a super cluttered, noisy world out there. Everyone's an expert giving their advice on what it is that you should be doing in your own business. No one should know your business better than you. But if you don't have that foundation in place, you're now like opening up yourself and being vulnerable to listening to things that isn't going to guide you the right way. Mm-hmm. So someone's telling you go one way and go the other, you're just going to keep going around in circles. And there's people that we actually know over the last 3 years, you know, obviously we're going like going up, mm-hmm. but there's some people that we know, like, they're still at the same place they were 3 years ago. And it's all because they're not clear on that stuff. Once you have your roadmap, once you know your strategy and you have that in place, now you can say like, all right, cool. Now I'm going to focus on creating my unique product and service. All right, cool. Now I'm going to focus on like the credibility piece and the sales piece and the marketing piece and all those other different elements that's going to help you be successful. But we both genuinely believe that the number one thing you should start off with is the branding piece, and then everything else follows after that.
Especially because, like I was saying earlier, entrepreneurs kind of have like that squirrel syndrome, and the people that we know that like are still where they're at is because you have to be patient and you have to be consistent, and that's mm-hmm. definitely like what makes a brand succeed. Like Apple and Nike didn't become the brands that they are today without being consistent to a specific message.
For decades.
For decades. Yeah. And of course, you evolve and you change, but everything always has to tie back to like the main overall vision, the main overall purpose, mission, and where you're trying to see yourself in the next 2 years. And any business opportunity that comes your way, if that doesn't align with your brand strategy, if that's not going to take you any closer to getting where you see yourself in 2 to 5 years, then you need to say no to it. That way you can stay on track and not like go in circles.
Like if we weren't super clear on that, we'd be doing SEO, we'd be doing Instagram managed. We would just literally be doing anything and everything to serve our customers in a way that we can make money and our clients in a way to make money. But because we want to be known for this one thing, that's another like pillars, like specialize in one thing. Everyone is just like super generic and all over the place. And when you're doing that, you're either confusing people or you're not like focusing on those results and all kind of stuff. But because we focus on one thing and we're super clear on that, I know to be like, hey, if someone's going to come to me like, hey, we could just offer you our SEO services. And it's like, nope. Hey, we could offer you like Facebook. You serve your clients so well. Like, you'd be able to make this amount. Nope. But if I know the value of that and I know it's going to serve my clients, I could set up a strategic partnership where it's like, hey, I know like since we created this brand for you, I know the next best thing for you is to start driving traffic to your stuff or doing this. I have a great relationship with so-and-so and I'd love to make that introduction. He's going to be able to help you out, do this, mm-hmm. and I can get a cut back on that. But for me to offer that as a service, like from me and our company, that's like out of integrity.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And that's interesting because I think a lot of people think about integrity as like, you know, morality, you know, doing the right or the wrong thing. And how you use it is like integrity with who you are as a brand, your values, right? It's those values, the boundaries. You're clear on your boundaries of what you will and won't tolerate. And I think that's a really, really powerful distinction for everyone listening in your integrity. Are you clear on what integrity looks like for you? Are you clear on what those boundaries are? Are you clear on the definition of what works for you and who you are and what doesn't? Because without that, like Kevin said, you're going to keep going around in circles and you might be in the same dang place that you've been in, you know, 3 years from now.
Years from now, $30,000 down the drain from now.
Bad,
if not more.
Yeah, if not more.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm curious, do you guys really focus on getting out there in public more, you know, on stages, or is it online that you really focus on, or is it a mix of both, and how do you determine which to go with?
I'd say it's a combination of both. It's so crazy. I've been super, super vocal on Facebook, mm-hmm. And I've been growing my audience, like, just from my Facebook profile, like a fan page or a Facebook group or anything like that. And a lot of people have been engaging with my stuff, and like, some of them even copy what I'm saying. Like, I always use the hashtag facts. And so even when I see people in person, they're like, facts, facts. And so it's like cool kind of seeing that brand recognition in a way. But even more so, for instance, because I've been growing that, we had like a recent launch for our Brand and Profit course. Mm-hmm. It's our signature branding course or whatnot. I put out my first Facebook post about it because we wanted beta testers to come through. And I was like, hey, it's going to be like X amount of price, which is at a discounted price. It's the first time, last time it'll ever be at this price, da da da. And we're looking for 30 people and da 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 da. Before you know it, 80 people comment. It's like, I'm in. And I'm like, dang, like that's crazy, right? So I think, and we both think that being out there online is super important. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start, and my goal is to be everywhere in 2018.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my face is going to be everywhere. We're going to be spending a lot of money on Facebook ads and all good stuff. So we're really excited about that. Everything for us so far has been word of mouth.
Yeah.
But even more specifically too, there's so much power in offline stuff too. Mm-hmm. So when we go to conferences, like Devana was saying, it's like we're really, really intentional about how we use our time. We go to lunch with certain people through certain things, closing deals during that. Speaking at masterminds and even participating in masterminds has been huge for us. It's about growing our business. We don't even have to offer a speaking fee. We never sell from stage, but some way, shape, or form, we always happen to, you know, end up generating like multiple five figures in revenue just because of speaking. Because what happens is you offer the value and people are like, oh man, I want to talk. And then talking gets the sales conversations and then closing a deal, and then boom, now you have a client. So we think if you're going out there and being vocal and putting your message out there in both arenas, offline and online, it's going to do nothing but help your brand that much more.
Yeah. I mean, we started off trying to focus on the online, but it wasn't working for us. And we were like using that as an excuse, but it was like, oh yeah, like there's like people not on the computer, you know, like doing stuff. And we really had to hustle offline to make sales and grow our business. And we haven't used any advertising.
No webinars, no Facebook ads. And that's the thing too, Chris, is like a lot of people, especially in the online business world, they like to stay behind computer screens. Mm-hmm. And they like to stay behind it. They don't want to get out there and talk to people and communicate. And they wonder why they're not making any money. They're not learning those skill sets to actually have conversations with real people. You're literally going to be doing business with real people. And so one of our big aha moments was like, hey, we're going to get from behind a computer screen. We're going to go out there, have real conversations with real people, and see where that goes. And then it's like, cool, now we've generated the revenue and we've generated like the credibility from like having going out there in the real space, talking to real people. Now it's like, all right, cool, let's just blow it up online now. And let's just put a lot of resources, invest a lot of resources into scaling that out. And so that should be pretty good abundance coming in for 2018 from that.
Yeah. And you know, what I was hearing when you were talking right there is, when you're growing your business or your brand, if you have that clear message, it makes it so easy for everyone to say yes. Versus if you're scattered all over the place, if you go into a mastermind and you're speaking and you're scattered all over the place and people aren't really clear on what you do, then they're not going to pay you multiple 10 figures, right? They're not going to do that, because you guys are so solid and grounded and have that integrity in your brand. Even if, like for example, if someone was doing mindset coaching, but there was this unique place to stand in mindset coaching, this unique branding, this unique message that really penetrated the noise, then they could make multiple 10 figures too. It's not that it's just because it's branding and it helps business owners make more money, but that's what you guys created with your unique position and your unique look and feel and how you make people feel. And so for everyone listening, just really get that it's not necessarily just something that makes people money. It could be SEO that, you know, brings in money kind of not in a direct way. It might take more time, whatever it might be. But as long as you have this place to stand in where people get what you do, in like instantly, right? It's that instantaneous that'll really make all the difference. So what does it take? I know we talked about like building that memorable, disruptive brand. What does it take for people to get what you do instantly? Like short and sweet, the better, but anything else that you can give us on how to really compact what we do and just deliver in a powerful way?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's just thinking about what it is that you're offering and then trying to be able to communicate it in the most simplest way, but also in a very, like, creative and catching way. So, like, for us saying, like, we help entrepreneurs create memorable, disruptive, and badass premium brands, it's like, whoa, really? Like, it's so, like, different versus just, like, we help people create brands, you know? So it's, like, being specific on, like, who you help and then also figuring out a way to use words that, like, pop and, like, catches people's attention.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know, like, sometimes I don't use memorable, disruptive, and badass premium because it's, like, too many words, mm-hmm. like, jumping in there. So sometimes it'll be, like, memorable, disruptive, and badass brands, or it'd be we help entrepreneurs and service-based business owners create premium brands. Mm-hmm. And so when we say that, like Devonna said, it's, like, just simple, straightforward, I get it. There's no ambiguity in there. A third grader can, a fifth grader can understand what you're saying. They're not like, huh, what? And trying to, like, explain everything and just, like, throw up all over people, vomit all over people. You don't want to do that. So I'm not sure. I think that answers your question, but that's our, like, philosophy. It's like, hey, yeah. We help insert, like, whoever your target demographic is, and then benefit, results, whatever.
And practice, like, saying that stuff. Like, when we first started, when we would go to events, like, we would spend the 40-minute drive going down to San Diego or whatever, because we live in North County, we'd, like, practice back and forth, like, oh, so what do you do? And then Kevin would
say,
be like, oh, you should switch this around, and then we'd just bounce back and forth because we were so new. We wanted to make sure we didn't look like idiots, and we wanted to make sure that, like, it was clear and concise, people could get it. Of course, it wasn't good at first, but then as you keep doing it, it's like, oh, like, you get it more simplified.
And say it with confidence and conviction.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, you know, we have entrepreneurs create brands or premium brands. Do you?
Like, what was that?
Are you sure about that? Because it doesn't sound like it, bro. So, yeah, say it with conviction and confidence.
It's like, I'm going to forget you, so I don't know how you do that for brands.
Exactly.
Facts. That's awesome. Cool. So, is there anything that you feel the current, entrepreneurial environment, like, really needs to understand, like, the state of our economy, the state of our marketplace, any big, like, ahas or things that you really just want to drive home for people that they get, that they understand, that they really walk away with from this interview with?
Do you have anything?
I think it just comes back to what we just keep saying. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and this is why we like talking about branding, is, like, branding is important.
Yeah.
A lot of people who think about business or, you know, get inspired to become entrepreneurs, nobody talks about creating your brand first. They just talk about creating the sales. They just talk about the email marketing and building your list. While all that's important, like, we truly believe that branding, creating your brand is, like, should be your number one priority, because without the brand, you can't do your sales correctly. You can't build your email list correctly. Like, without that foundation, there's nothing.
Yeah. I would say to a couple things. One is to just, like, pay attention to trends.
Yeah.
So, like Devonna was saying, just, like, intentional observation and backtracking and all kind of stuff. From the beginning, like, we would have never been able to jump into our space if we wasn't paying attention to, like, how messed up literally the entrepreneurial world was in the online business world. And in my mind, I'm like, in our mind, we're like, look, if big brands aren't doing this, why are you doing it? Like, if you're like, hey, this is my company, this is what we do, and here's my business card, or check us out here. If the founder of Apple isn't sending you to a landing page, and that's, like, your only legit place where you're sending them, like, why are you doing that? I talk about integrity. I would feel so messed up if I were to do something like that, because then it's just like, I just want to take from you. Yes, I most likely would give you value from, like, my email, my free gift, right? But then I'm just like, oh, just get on my email list and, like, boom, now I got you in my pocket. That's not what we're trying to do here. It's like, we want to build that rapport and all that kind of stuff with you right off the bat. So I'd say, like, look at trends. I think, like, looking at this space, like, more than anything, like, video is something that's going to be super, super powerful. Yes, aesthetics, images, and graphics are super cool, but what we're going to just blow up with in 2018 is just creating the most dope, epic videos. And you guys have heard it here first, December 6th, 2017. It's going down. We're gonna look back to December 6th, 2018, and you'll be like, dang, Kevin, like, he was committed to this commitment. Like, the video game is gonna be up there. Talk about capturing people's attention, edutainment, being funny, and just like being very disruptive. So video, and just making sure that you're leveraging that in a way where it's capturing people's attention. A lot of entrepreneurs are like, the old way of doing marketing is like, are you stuck? Are you overwhelmed or stressed out doing this? Well, hi. I'm Devana, or hi, I'm Kevin. It's like, nah,
and man. I'm going to help you from getting from stuck to unstuck.
Yeah, it's like, stop it. It's like laughable, man. So, yeah, just bringing the heat video-wise.
Green screens, like, stop with the green screen. And, like, most importantly, look at people outside of your industry. Like, I feel like, especially, like, online entrepreneurship, just the word entrepreneur is, like, blowing up. And, like, people, we all have similar connections and friends in this bubble. But it's, like, everyone just sees the bubble. There's, like, so many things happening outside of your industry, whether it's, like, paying attention to what YouTubers are doing, what the younger generation is doing, seeing what other brands are doing, just seeing how they market, seeing how they brand themselves, seeing how they build their email list, seeing how they do sales, and all this stuff is so important to really help make you stand out and be different from everybody else in your competition.
Yeah, I know Gary Vaynerchuk is like so adamant about studying industries and studying new trends and like watching what's going on. He's like blowing the F up.
Yeah, man, look, watch this. Gary V, like, the reason why Gary V is just, like, on top of it is because he's been around the YouTuber game. Like, it's crazy, right?
Decades.
And so, yeah. And I'm sure like, you know who Jake Paul is and Logan Paul and all those guys, you know, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 million plus followers, subscribers, if you will, just between them two alone, the brothers. Right. But for Gary Vee to invest in Team 10, which is Logan Paul's company, he has an inside scoop and insight on literally everything that's going on right now. Dude. And he's smart because literally everything Gary Vee is doing is already like replicatable through what's going on in like the YouTube industry. Mm-hmm. He's bringing it to an industry where like it's not really happening like that. And so people like Gary Vee and Gerard Adams and
Ty Lopez and Grant Cardone
and Andy Frisella, like, they're the ones who's kind of pioneering this space because they're smart and they're intelligent enough to start realizing, and obviously they have, like, resources too. Like, they're not broke, so they have some money to be able to allocate towards that. But they're competent enough to be able to look at those different industries and be like, man, I see a lack here, I see a hole here, I see a gap here. How can I fill that up and start really capturing people's attention because it's really brand new in this space?
Yeah.
Awesome. How have you seen your business really evolving and shifting over the last couple months?
Good question. One thing that we're going to be really, really focusing on in early 2018 is just like growing a team, like growing the team. And I remember when I first started becoming an entrepreneur and wanting to start my own business and all that, I remember saying like, man, I want to have employees and then like I want to have a team in house. So I just want to crush it and da da da. And then for some reason, again, it's like your environment kind of influences like your thoughts. And obviously you would know that. And it's like, oh, no, like having a virtual team is where it's at. Like get your virtual assistant here in the Philippines and get this and all that.
Well, like, we also had one experience with like an intern that we did kind of have and it didn't go well. So we were like, man, fuck this shit. Like we're just going to do a virtual team.
Yeah. And so now
we have a virtual team.
We have a virtual team. We've had a virtual team for a while now. And it's cool. But I feel like for us to really take over the world, like how I know we're going to, we have to have people here in the office.
In the space.
In the space. Like culture, like vibing off of each other, collaborating with each other. No longer have to like worry about like, oh, I have another client. My fault. I dropped the ball here because like I have another client. You got to compete with them. No, I don't want the contractors. I want like employees. Like we're getting shit done. So I'm really excited. We're both really excited about that. and everything's going to be turning up big time.
Well, I do want to speak to that real quick, because like who you guys are is you're giving your soul, you know, your heart, your whole being to this vision. That's who you are. And when you have contractors, they're just like, they're there to collect a paycheck. They're there to, you know, get the work done and then go home. You thrive on living in that culture, living in your values. And when you find other people who do that as well, it's not like the 1+1=2 thing, but it's the 1+1=11. So the more people who you get who are in resonance with that energy, it amplifies both of your energies and their energies, so you can create even more epic stuff.
Yeah,
man. And 100%, like, I agree with that a gazillion percent. We wouldn't have nearly as many moving parts and like people doing all this different kind of stuff. It's like everything will be systematized that much more, I feel like, and it'll just be more consistent.
I mean, it's possible to have like a really badass virtual team, because I mean, we do have one pretty solid now, but it's just like there's little gaps where it's like it would be so much more efficient and easier if it was just like everybody was here, you know. So.
Totally.
Yeah. Is there anything else you could think of, like how we grown over the last two?
It's just like been the thoughts and conversations we've been having, just like scaling, getting the right people in place, getting more sub processes and systems, so that we can step out of doing done for you stuff and we can focus on other projects for Strive and Grind, other programs, or even like our own personal stuff too.
Yeah. And you know, something that you said about there about scaling, Kevin, I know you wrote a post a while back about like so many people are trying to scale when they haven't even, you know, they're trying to like fly and they haven't
they
even
haven't
learned
even
how to crawl
yet. Yeah.
share more about that. Like, what have you been seeing about people? Like, it's good to have ambition. It's good to have big dreams and big goals. But like, what's the gap that you see is going on in the marketplace where people are trying to like just do stuff that isn't even in their realm yet, you know?
Yeah, it's like before you walk, you have to crawl. And before you run, you have to walk, right? And so that's the thing. It's like, hey, let's crawl first, let's walk, and then we'll run. Like literally that's the phases of business, if you will, right? Someone who's just starting out, don't know anything about entrepreneurship from like a real world experience, application, process standpoint, like they wouldn't even imagine, they wouldn't even know where to start if they had, literally tomorrow had 500 customers, they had 20 people that they had to work with, like they had 20 people that they had to like pay out, and like they wouldn't even know where to begin, right? And it's like everything builds off of one another, and you know, scaling, just like hustle, right? Hustle, my shirt even says hustle, right? but hustle is like a buzzword, but so is scaling. And yes, it's sexy to scale, right? But more importantly, it's like, let's first get to our first six figures. Before you can be like, hey, like I'm getting right to seven, like get to six first.
Let's create something that actually works.
get to $50,000 first before you talk about like, oh, this isn't going to scale. You haven't even had the experience yet to like have conversations with people enough, or like go through a legit sales process enough, or create your own system and process to see if that works enough to talk about scale. So I think it just really comes down to staying in your lane. Yes, be ambitious, have goals and all of that. But for me to be like, yo, tomorrow I'm gonna have a $1 billion net worth and Starving Out's gonna be $1 billion, it's like, no, it's not. Yeah. Like, yeah, so
it's cool,
the realness, man.
I just wanted to give you a little soapbox to stand on right there. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And talk about branding, right? And like having a clear message for you to even remember what I said. I probably said like 2 months ago, but for you to remember like what I said 2 months ago, like that's really, really cool, yeah, right? Imagine if all of us, and like even for the people listening, like imagine if all of us like had content or had like a message that we got out there where people like, it just stuck, right? And so that's like the cool thing about having a really, really strong message and voice.
Proof is in the pudding, baby.
Yes, sir.
love it. Awesome. So, you know, we're beginning to wrap up now, and I've asked you this in a couple different ways, but I just want to give you another shot. And if there's any other questions that I didn't ask you that you wanted me to ask, let me know. But like, what do you really want people taking away from this interview, like getting in action on right now?
I would say, one, your brand. Figure out what your vision is. Figure out what your mission, purpose. Get like clear on that strategy for your business if you're trying to create a business.
What do you want to be known for?
What do you want to be known for?
Like, that's another. Like, what do you want to be known for? Specialize in one thing. If you're like, oh, like, I'm the mindset coach, but I do a little bit of, like, Bitcoin over here. But, like, I do a little bit of
SEO
over there. Like, whoa, bro, I'm confused now. Wait, what?
Yeah.
So just, like, focus on one thing. That was, like, the number one thing that changed the game for us. Focus on one thing in your business. Get clear on, like, your vision and your mission and your purpose and all that good stuff. Understand, like, who you want to be known for or what you want to be known for. Understand, like, what do you actually stand for and what do you stand against?
Yeah.
Those two things are going to help you form your message as well as your core values, like, within your business and your brand. And then once you're able to do that, then it's like, all right, cool. Now start looking at your offering, like, what it is that you're actually offering your customers and your clients. And what you want to do is you want to ensure that you're in their best, like, you are their like, number one advisor. You are their trusted advisor, right? And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you cut out everything that's just, like, clutter, noise. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be, like, pure value. And don't do stuff just for the money. Like, don't do things just for the money. If you do a great job at what you promise your clients that you're going to deliver them, the money is going to come. And so focus on that, and then you can start moving into the other things. We talked about branding, but like Devon says, like, strategy, and then, like, start moving into, like, what makes you unique from, like, a product or offering standpoint.
Yeah, and just from a personal level, just be patient with what you're doing. Be intentionally observant, and then also be consistent in what you're doing.
Consistent, yeah, that's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what do you want people to do next? Do you have any resources or any next steps for them to take to learn more about you or, you know, start to work with you or anything like that?
Yeah, so you can find us on our website, striveandgrind.com, striveandgrind.com. You can reach out to us there if you want to talk. We can either do your whole branding for you or we can do consulting. We also are super excited because we just launched our new signature branding course called Brand to Profit. We can give you the link for that if they're interested in that. It's basically like the DIY version of what we do for our clients one-on-one. You basically get to learn more on a deep dive, everything that we talked about in this interview, and also just basically creating those key pieces of creating a premium brand.
Yep.
Beautiful. Awesome. And then tell us once more what 2018 has in store for you all.
Ooh. So 2018, we will be building our team, scaling, like, for real. Real scaling. Yeah. And then also what I'm really excited about is the scaling is going to give me more time to focus on my personal brand. I'm starting a movement called Gangstar Creative, where I'm helping creatives learn more about the business side of things. And basically, I'm on a mission to annihilate the status quo of the starving artist, because there's too many creatives out there that don't have the right mindset. They look at money as evil. Like, they don't know how to run a business, what processes and systems are, how to talk to people, how to make a sale. They don't have confidence. So I'm just really excited to kind of fill that void. And I'll be building out my brand and speaking and doing workshops and stuff for that next year.
Yeah. I'd say that's good, babe. I'd say for me, I'm just going to be speaking on a lot more stages in 2018. I'm going to be speaking in Australia, and I already have like 5 other speaking gigs already locked in, so I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
I'm going to be writing 2 books in 2018. One is going to be a branding book. We're both going to go in on that. And then the other is going to get me pretty much talking about how I made my first $1 million. I'm really excited about that. And obviously, like, scaling the branding company and really just working with, like, grade A rock stars and A players.
Beautiful. Awesome. Devana, Kevin, you are, like, blowing it the F up, and I'm so grateful to be, you know, witnessing how you are leaving that mark, leaving that impact in people's lives, you know, memorable as heck, you know. And Kevin, you said it best, you know, like the fact that I could remember something from a couple months ago is just crazy, but it also shows that you're doing the right thing. So keep it up. And I'm so excited for all of your success moving forward. We're all like young and just like, this is just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface on what we're creating, the impact, the communities that we're building. It's amazing. So just keep living your purpose, your truth, and in integrity with who you are. And, you know, the rest is going to take care of itself.
Boom.
Thank
Mic
you
drop.
So much.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon, okay?
Cool. All right.